Mr. Fiddler, Reel 3, we were looking at your time at Perham Down from May 50 to 42 for the next 6 weeks, for the basic training. Looking at the day sort of vaguely at through the day and various sessions you might have during that day, what about weapons training generally? You mentioned the pistol. What about, would you be in rifle, what other weapons would you be introduced to?
We had to do rifle drill, pistol drill. This was, and of course there was quick march, slow march. The general part of drilling, it's difficult to explain.
It's okay.
But this used to be probably for about an hour every day. And then after the march side of it, we then would get 2 minutes to change from back into demos, because you would then be going on to wireless training or gunnery or driving.
Well, let's look at them. Starting with wireless training.
I didn't like wireless at all.
Why not?
I couldn't get on with it at all. I couldn't get on with Morse code. It was something that I suppose really it was something that I didn't want to do. Although we were made to stay in the wireless huts to do this. And of course, I didn't get very good marks on this. We used to be marked up anyway. The idea was really to see how suited you're going to be to on the gunnery side, wireless side, or on the driving side. Well, my aim was to get onto the driving side anyway.
Right. Well, let's do gunnery next then, because that's the other one. You know, how did you do at gunnery, and what part of gunnery? Was it machine gun and gun, or was it just what was it?
No, we used to have. There was the go on to the Bren, also the Browning, because the Browning was in the. It was on the tripod, but they were not. The Browning was the normal machine gun in British tanks.
What did you think of the Browning? Now, would that be the first time you'd come across it?
Well, except for that one in the. But it was nothing like the one that we're using today. Well, it was the only one that we knew until we went on to the American gun, which was totally different. But in the training regiment, that's the only ones that we used.
We were told to strip it down.
Yes, we used to have to do this blindfolded as well. We used to have the quicker you done it, I think you tried to out. Smart, the one that was in front of you. If you could do it in how many seconds, I don't know. But you used to have to strip this and put it back together again, and then you got on to whereby you've done this blindfold.
And what about actual guns? You know, the larger gun that they might have in the tanks.
Well, we didn't have anything much to do with them really until we got onto the tanks themselves. You know, it was just the.
So not in your basic training.
Not on the basic training.
Now the thing you were interested in was
on the driving side.
Did this start with driving normal vehicles, or did you go straight? How did
you
do it?
No, you. I first started on a 1500 weight. Then I went on to a 3-tonner.
Had you got a license before you joined the army?
No.
So how did they teach you to drive a lorry then?
We went out with an instructor, and of course it was. In those days, there was no. You had to double the clutch every time. You know, there was no such thing as a synchromesh. And you'd go to different places. You'd probably be three of you go out. One would be in the driver's seat. The instructor would go along with the. If you were driving, there'd be two in the back ready to take over. Firstly, you'd go across the plains of Salisbury Plains. And then you'd be next to go onto the road. You also had to do, when you do it with a, You'd have to do compass drawing as well, and of course there was a lot of map reading come into this. This is all part and parcel of which, of course, you tend to forget all about. And so that you would probably, after being in the truck after a couple of days, tuition, you'd then probably get out on the road. The three of you would go. Maybe you'd come into Newbury. And
did you have any trouble with the, things like double? It sounds terrible to us now, but double declutching.
It wasn't easy to drive in those days. You know, you start and stop. But when once you got the hang of double clutching, there was nothing more easier, really. So one day you would be in a you might be in a 1500 weight, and then the next day you'd be in a 3 tonner. So it didn't make any difference. You'd already started driving. You know, you could drive. You could drive a truck. Maybe not well enough to be able to turn around and say, well, you can go out on your own, but we were always with a driving instructor.
Now, what about the tanks or the track?
No,
perhaps not tanks.
We then went on to Brembo Terriers. They were a bit of a pain in the arse, but...
In what way?
It was something different. Well, it was a very... They had a V8 engine, a Ford V8 engine, and of course they had a steering wheel in there, and it was a very... very, very little room. There was movement backwards and forwards. I'm not sure whether it was up and down, backwards and forward. And you were very, very close to the steering column. And of course, you could lose control of them very, 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 very easily.
Why?
Well, because when you're on the road, any track vehicle can run away with you. And I've had this happen to me. I went on a scheme with a carrier. You know, we also used to have a little scheme towards the end of the training, whereby somebody would be driving a tank, somebody would be driving a Brembo carrier, some would be a truck, and you'd go out for I think it's about 2 days. And I was on a track vehicle, a Brembo carrier. They were all right to drive, but I would hate to have had to drive a Brembo carrier for any length of time. Because the steering wheel, to me, was very close to your chest.
Now that changed the speed of the tracks. It wasn't like a vehicle, a wheel on a.
No, it did speed up one and locked up on the other. I don't know basically what really happened on the carrier side of it.
Now, did you actually get a go on driving any tanks at that stage, or was that as far as you went on learning to drive at the time, in basic training? Or would they get you an old tank out?
No, I don't think I drove a tank until I got until I come back off leave onto the main side of the. And by then. The whole of the training regiment had moved from Tidworth up to Barnard Castle.
Alt, right.
Yeah.
So at the time it was just draining, and you still wanted to be a driver. Of the three things, you didn't like one. Gunnery was now there. It was driving.
The gunnery was a different kettle of fish. But I don't think we ever went to the gunnery ranges, not to the big gun ranges. I think we did it to Barnard Castle.
So, anything else in the sessions of training during the day that you remember, or was that about it?
There's a lot of map reading.
Well, did you have any trouble with map reading and compass work?
No, not really. Well, once you've got the screen marked out, you know, the lines along the top, lines down the. I think the map references. I think that there was no problem there.
Now, we're looking at almost a typical day. We get so you'd have sessions, then you'd have some lunch, then more sessions and tea. What about in the evening? What would you do in the evening? Were you allowed out at all in the first 6 weeks, or the basic training?
I think I can remember going down into Tidworth twice, I think, and it was on Saturdays. Where are we allowed out? Yes, I think...
What would you do in Tidworth? Did you drink?
Well, just the odd... Not to any great extent. I suppose, you know, one could turn around and say 18. Well, you ought to be able to drink at 18. But we didn't do a lot of drinking. Obviously, there was a lot that did drink. Yeah, we were allowed. I'm not sure how often we were allowed out, but I think the main of it was taken up with, when you got back into your billet after time, you wanted to flop down, really.
How did you get on with your fellow recruits?
Well, I suppose we've got to start. I'm going to say I'm a good mixer anyway, and. Because you had them from all parts. You know, you had them from London, Yorkshire. It was quite a spread section of people. I think I've got to admit that I enjoyed being in the army.
So you enjoyed the comradeship. Was there any bullying at all that you were aware of? At that stage?
No, I can't ever remember. I don't think you had any time for bullying. And when I say we didn't have any time, I mean that we didn't have any time. You didn't have time to change your damn socks after time, you know, when you were... And of course, you had to have the right gear on, you know.
What about the NCOs, the other ones? I mean, you mentioned the drill instructor, the colour sergeant.
But these were,
what about the others?
These were mainly the only people that we were concerned with.
You didn't see your officers then?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. I thought you meant the other NCO. Yes, we used to, because we used to have parades every Saturday morning. Did we have, yeah, we did have church parades. But I think I'm right in saying that there wasn't an officer per group, per squad.
So you'd see them, but you wouldn't have much contact with them.
When you were out on the parade ground, you'd be on the... I'm talking about on the Saturday when this was the regimental parade. You would be the whole parade ground would be taken up with different squads, but you didn't have the man that would be in front of you would be the colour sergeant.
Your sergeant,
yeah,
that you mentioned already.
Yeah.
Anything else about your time in the first 6 weeks, or I mean, would you do guard duties or anything like that, or was that later?
We did guard duties later because we used to have to do fire watch.
I can't remember. Anything else? Did you pass out? Was there a passing out?
Oh,
right?
Yes. Oh yes, that was a big passing out. This was on a Saturday, and then this all tidied up by about 12 o'clock, I think, half past 12. And then, of course, you were then on seven days leave.
And that was that was it. And then from there, the whole lot went down to Barnard Castle.
No, we went back.
Sorry.
We went back after leave, we then went back to Purham Down. But then, of course, it was time, and the Americans were taking over pretty well the whole of the south of England. And a lot of units were having to go farther up north. Well, the whole of the 54th Training Regiment moved to Barnard Castle.
Now, what were you, now that you'd finished being in 180 squad, I think it was?
We were still in 180 squad right to the finish of our training.
And... what happened when you got to Barnard Castle? That would be round about June, halfway through June. Back end of June, would it? You got there in May.
Somewhere round about June, yes. Somewhere round about June, July.
And what were you doing at Barnard Castle?
Well, it was the same type. We're still back onto the same... but you sort of took up a step higher, you know. You still had the same... sergeant, we still had the same, we were still in our same squads. We then got on to tank training. We were still doing a normal lorry, you know, 15 underweight, 3-ton training. But the, I think the training it stepped up a gear. You know, you were getting to be more more proficient in everything you did. You know, in the wireless, you got better. You're doing more. I forget now the Morse code got better, but I still wasn't happy with it. And gunnery, we then went to gunnery ranges, but I'm not quite sure. We're down in Wales, I think it was.
Do you remember much about it? Which gun it was?
Yeah, the 2-pounder. I don't think we ever come across the 6-pounder till we went into the field regiment.
And what was the 2-pounder like?
Well, it was something of nothing, wasn't it? I mean the tanks that we had, which was the old common hunters, and they, I think there was a crew of, I'm not sure, a crew of 4, I think, in the common hunters, and then they got. There was a couple of Crusaders came in, they were a crew of 5, but they still only had the 2-pounder, which was, to us, raw recruit. We're still raw recruit. It was, oh, lovely gun. And when you think of it, it was something of nothing. I mean, you know, it was it was very difficult to scrub, you know, to see this little pop gun sticking out of a. Of an armoured vehicle. And then later on you get a 6-pounder that was popping out of the turret, and you think to yourself, well, yeah, what's wrong here? You come in with a pipsqueak 2-pounder, and then they put a 6-pounder in the same type of tank, not the Covenanter, but the Crusader, and they seem to be upgunning all the time, but you know, you didn't seem to be going. And this, the gun was controlled with your arm, you know, this 2-pounder, you know, it wasn't hydraulically controlled, it was, you had a trigger down here, and your arm that used to go through there, and you moved the, and this is literally, that was the movement, of the up and down movement of the gun. And and something else I can't remember, whether the turret was electrically controlled, hydraulically controlled, or what, in the first instance. I know in the I just can't remember.
Now, what about driving the tanks? Which tank were you practicing driving? Because you get a chance to drive them.
On the Covenanter.
The Covenanter. Covenanter.
Yeah.
Could you describe the Covenanter? It's not a well-known tank, that one.
Well, whereby you heard of the Crusader? Well, whereby the Crusader had 5 track wheels, the Covenanter had 4. So there was 2, a gap, and 1. 3, a gap, and 1.
And was it better or worse? Or what was your opinion of the Covenanter as a tank?
Well, bear in mind, we'd never driven a tank before. We used to think we were bloody marvellous to be able to drive one, you see. This is the point. We had nothing else to compare with.
What was it like to drive? How did you drive it? I mean, do you remember now?
It had to be tillers on the side, didn't it? Tillers, yeah. I think you... I can't really remember how you got inside the thing. I think you...
That's okay. It come back to you or not.
I don't know whether you'll be able to come back to me on that. I can
yeah, that's all right. So, I mean, did you enjoy driving it?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah, I used to think that, tank driver. Although I'm not a tank driver, I wouldn't have a tank driver then, but it felt so good to be able to drive a vehicle that big. In those days of that size, really, you know, after driving a Bremen carrier. But we weren't in any position to turn around and say it was a good tank or it was a bad tank. We had nothing to compare it with. I think in those days we didn't realise, we didn't take any notice of what was going on in the desert. We do know that they had tanks such as the Grant and the Valentine and Matilda and all this, and but never meant anything to us because we never had anything to, we never drove them on it in the train. We just had the basic.
So that was, you hadn't heard of what the German tanks were like then?
Not in those days, oh no. Not, I don't think we'd even heard of the Mark IV, you know, the which was an up-and-coming German tank that came in before the Panther and the Tiger. So I also think that we didn't worry what was going on. Maybe we should have. We had other things to occupy their mind, you know, other than what was going on in the desert, whether we were winning, whether we were... I think I'm right in saying that we couldn't care less. And I don't think we were, in those days, I don't think we were saying, I would like to get out there. Because we hadn't, I think, because we hadn't joined a pucker field regiment. I think basically this is what it was. Now, this might seem a bit strange to hear this, and also when I say that we didn't worry what was going on around us, we had our own thing to carry on with.
Any other developments in training you were doing while you were at Barnard Castle?
No, we still went on with the drill. Drill was a must. Driving was a must. Gunnery was a must. Everything was a must, really. I think we finished up with 20 weeks training. I'm not sure. So there's not really much that I can remember about the training side.
Now that brings you to getting on to the end of 42.
Yeah. And then, of course, air training was finished.
What happened when were you assessed finally, or what happened at the end of the training?
Yeah, you were assessed on your gunnery, your ability in all aspects: driving, gunnery, and wireless. And
how did they test
you? I can't remember what form of test it was. We had to go on driving tests and such like. And on our gunnery, you know, that was assessed. But at the end of the 20 weeks, I think it was 20 weeks, I was asked if I would like to go as a driving instructor with the training regiment. Well, wherefore I said just now that... I wasn't worried about what was going on beyond the training regiment. Now I said, no, I'm not interested in, I would rather go to a field regiment.
Now, what made
interest in the training regiment? I want to get in bigger things.
That was why?
I think this is basically what it was. And especially, I now was going as a driver. Well, this was the preference and which I was good at. If you can take that as I was good at.
So, when what was your next posting then?
I went down to Bovington. The whole of the squad, or the 75% of the squad, went to Bovington. This felt good, although we still weren't going to a field regiment.
And whenabouts would this be? Would this be before Christmas, or, you know, whenabouts?
I think it was after. I think it had to be after Christmas.
So January or February 43? We've had a think, and we think it probably December 42 you went to Bovington, yeah. But you're not sure. And it's fair enough.
I was at Bovington approximately 2 weeks. Still on basic training, but still rolling about on tanks and such like. And then I was moved to the Lothian and Border Horse.
And where were they?
They were up in Kilmarnock. So we set off by train from Bovington, got up to Kilmarnock. In the middle of this particular night, and I think there was about five of us that had gone. When we got up there, the whole regiment had gone except for the rear party. There's an advance, as you well know, and a rear party they were left to clear up. We got there, we were too late for anything other than a cup of tea and a bit of bread, I think it was. And the following morning, we were all grouped up, and it ended up there was about 20 of us. But they only wanted the advance party and the whole party, in fact, the advance party and the whole party of the Lodian border had gone to North Africa, which we thought we were going. Well, they only wanted so many of us, and there was, and what they'd done, the youngest was going to be held there and sent back to Bovington. I was one of the young ones, and there was three of us that was returned to Bovington. So I was only up there, I think, about 2 days, back down to Bovington. Then I was sent from Bovington to the 5th and 4th for Yeomanry.
Now, they were at Chippenham, I believe. So this is probably early 43.
Early 43.
And what sort of... What were your first impressions of... This is the second fight from Farfar. What were your forefar? What were your first impressions of them?
Well, I can remember getting off the train, and it wasn't... When you got off at the train, off the train to get off at Chippenham, you didn't go to a station. You got halfway off the train, stopped halfway along the line, and you had to get down on the line from there. I can always remember this. There was a crowd, I think, of about 30 of us, and there was one such bloke by the name of Len Hutchins and Len Harkins. Well, I've got to tell you this because we all go off Lee there to go off to this camp. There was somebody waiting to. But we were one man short, which was Len Harkins. We get back to camp, and it was 2 to 3 hours later when Len Harkins arrived. And he took his boots off. He'd gone the opposite way to what we'd gone. I don't know how this came about, but I think he'd probably tell you this anyway. And his socks was absolutely saturated in blood. So this was his first... entry into his place. But anyway, going through the guard gates of this big camp, quite a big camp, biggest we've ever been to, but it was all under missing huts. We entered into the guard room late, it was pretty well late, it was late at night, and we were then shown to a missing hut right at the far end. Right at the far end of the camp, as we were going along the walk, we were passing Nissen huts, and I thought, oh bloody hell, where are we going to? So anyway, we ended up in this, all of us, same lot, ended up in this Nissen hut. We hadn't joined anywhere yet. We hadn't joined a squadron. We hadn't joined a troop. So the next morning we were paraded, and we were really very, very isolated from the squadrons. We seemed as if we were put into a backwater for the simple reason that we weren't getting to know anybody. There was a knitting hut, same with the old pot-bellied stone. And we were there, I suppose, about a week. Nobody really wanted to know anything about us. All the other troops were leading the normal life, but we seemed to be isolated. They didn't seem as if all their troops had seemed to be filled up. They didn't really want us. Eventually, we did get integrated. I landed up in A Squadron. I think the majority of us landed up in A Squadron.